A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello and welcome to Maths Hysteria, a podcast all about Married at First Sight with me, Omar Abid, Sarah Clark at Sarah Clark Celebrates on Instagram, and Claire Limmer Abid. All right, final week.
Final countdown.
Penultimate episode.
And they're dishing out little cliffhangers like we're watching EastEnders.
Yeah. Oh, that annoyed me, that did. But anyway, we'll come to that, I'm sure, at some point. But that, I find that so frustrating.
But it's quite funny now because we're so used to watching like box sets where you can binge. And when a show actually does drip the episodes out on a night and you have to wait and you're like, I'm not used to delayed gratification anymore, it's 2023.
I quite like a cliffhanger. I find it quite exciting.
I mean, it is exciting. They know what they're doing, don't they? They're not stupid because we're going to watch.
I think the thing that annoys you more, though, Claire, is what you perceive as a non-ending.
I hate a non-ending.
Like where it's vague, where you don't find out.
Oh, like a true crime.
Like, we'll not give it away to anyone, but like that series we were literally just talking about.
What were we
Have you got to the end?
That you just watched last year.
You got to the end?
Yeah.
I hate that.
But I read an article and they it was one of those articles where they say very definitively what they think it was, so I'm just taking that as being we're talking about The Sopranos. That's
I think it's a brilliant ending.
It's quite clever.
It's too much of a non-ending for me.
Yeah, what Claire wants is one of those things that you see in 80s films where it's like, and then this person went on to join the Air Force.
I love those. They're my favourite bits.
When the text comes out.
Yes. 6 months later, these people are doing that.
And sadly, Joe and Sandy divorced. Yeah, those are good.
6 months later, George became CEO of PlayStation.
He might be. That'd be good. Reminds me of some of those like hit podcasts like Serial or something. Yeah. And you give, or Making a Murderer, which was huge, and you don't actually find out. I think as humans, we want to know definitively what happened.
You want a proper end.
But you don't always know.
Yeah.
But we'll find out tonight what Peggy says.
Yeah, of all the cliffhangers, it's only 24 hours.
Yeah. And the stakes are quite low.
And we know there's an ending. Yeah. We're going to find out.
For anyone listening to this podcast, I don't know.
They've got about half an hour.
6 hours. You better be quick, otherwise the whole thing is redundant and we've wasted our time. So how are we going to do this?
Well, it was for what we normally talk about, it's relatively simple because there were just three couples that we saw.
Yeah.
And they went through an order, so we saw Laura and Arthur, then Erica and Jordan, and then the cliffhanger of George and Biggie. So should we start with Laura and Arthur?
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Johnny was laughing when she said goodbye to him in the flat and he went, where's Arthur going to live?
He's just stopping there.
Where's he going to go? He just stayed in the flat, didn't he?
I wonder what the situation is with this place in Milton Keynes.
I know, what's he joining?
Maybe joining a commune. New tennis coach job comes with accommodation.
Okay.
Oh, that would make sense.
But 2 weeks is a short amount of time to be.
Oh, he's only there 2 weeks. All right.
Yeah.
Oh.
He said he had the place.
Summer school? Summer school.
Right,
maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, running a little camp or whatever.
He could be quite popular after this. He could do, you know, the middle-aged or rich ladies hiring, like, one-on-one tuition.
Oh, it's like Dirty Dancing.
Yeah, or like the film, is it in the film Wimbledon? There's like a tennis. Yes. Yeah, it's either that or Match Point, because that's another really good tennis film.
Well, that's Woody Allen.
Yeah,
film. I don't think I've seen that one.
I've seen Wimbledon.
So they talked a little bit before they departed, didn't they? We saw a little bit of her saying, I won't bring up last night again. We'll just leave it.
Yeah, he looks pretty rough.
He did. He looked a little bit rough. And also, I do feel like you can tell a lot from Laura when she's just managing him, but she has checked out. I said this last time. It looks like she's not taking him seriously anymore. She checked out a bit. And I think she was still feeling hurt for the fact he had that date the week before.
Yeah, which is...
fair enough.
Yeah.
And I think we said last time, but maybe it warrants saying it again. I think she can take his, like, on and off humour and his on and off, like, sort of childishness, but actually to feel a bit betrayed by how, like, lightly he took the whole thing.
It does
speak, too much.
Yeah. It does speak to how invested he actually was, doesn't it? Which I know we spoke about last time. So no wonder she was still hurt about it coming into final vows.
Totally.
Do you think if everything had happened at the dinner party the way we saw, but he hadn't gone on that date a week before, her answer would have been different?
Potentially.
I think she might.
I know what you mean, but I think it would have been harder for her to come to that decision. I think that was a real catalyst, because I think it felt a bit more cruel. Not cruel, that's the wrong one, but just like more heartless that he, I don't know. The fact that he did have that date the last week was a different letdown than the letdowns of just not getting his jokes or like not feeling like she has to manage him.
That's a hard sort of tangible thing that is you just shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah.
Or and then to be so flippant about it. On top of all the other slightly less sort of grey area stuff.
And sometimes, like, because I am a woman, spoiler, I sometimes know what I would want to hear in a scenario and how a bloke could actually turn it 180. So with Arthur having gone on a date the week before the show started, that's an undeniable fact that he revealed. He can't change that. But he could have handled it differently, because he could have said, do you know what? If I knew I was going to meet you, there's not a chance in hell I would have gone on that date. And I'm so sorry that I did, because clearly I wasn't taking this process seriously enough, but now I've met you, I'm all in. And then he would have been in her good book. Do you know what I mean? Obviously from the heart, he can't just like say that and not mean it. But there's ways of like winning somebody back. And he just was like, yeah, sorry.
Didn't matter. Didn't mean anything.
Didn't mean anything. She went, it meant something to me.
Yeah.
But maybe it was a date he didn't really want to go on and he sort of ended up on.
How did he end up on a date?
He could have been a little bit, you know.
He said he was trafficked. Did he go on a date?
No, but I went on a double date once, but it's because we're going to see Beyonce.
Oh, fair enough. But then he should have said, I mean, if it was that scenario, which I don't think it was, he maybe should have said, like, he just needed to explain himself.
Yeah. Taylor Swift tickets. Laura, come on.
I just think if you do something, there's always a way to explain it or apologise. And I don't think he seemed that bothered that he'd upset her. That was the thing. Like,
it wasn't.
She's seeking that, like, she's seeking any sort of clues that he's into her. Mm-hmm. Or he's taking it seriously, and he keeps just like dropping the ball.
Yeah,
he's not a horrible guy, he's a funny guy, but she was looking, and that's why I think her decision might have been different. Probably unlikely.
Yeah.
But that was the final ball drop.
I think we could see that coming, couldn't we, that she was going to put no or leave or whatever it is the put, and he was going to say yes.
Well, I was quite surprised, like, because we said, and I certainly said, that after that dinner party, his energy was very much, I don't give a shit anymore.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was, if I had to put money on it, I thought he would put stay. But I don't know, it was what, 60-40? I wouldn't have been surprised totally if he'd put leave.
I know what you mean, and almost like it's not worth the effort at this point, because like her friends don't like him and he can't be arsed with them. He can probably tell a bit that she's checked out and he doesn't see. Yeah, I do know what you mean, and like same as you, I would have put money on the fact that he would have stayed, but not that much money. £2.50.
Oh, before we get to the vows themselves though, I guess we should talk about the friends they spoke to.
In a way, that friend was a bit more mellow this time, wasn't she?
Well, I put on Twitter...
There was just one of them.
Yeah. Firstly, there was just one of them.
Of it as well.
And I put on Twitter that I could hear the nation saying, at least it's not the other one.
I mean, I think she knew that she needed to be a bit more level because it was ultimately Laura's decision. And I'm glad she didn't go in too strong.
Yeah.
Because we needed to know when Laura did say she was leaving, that it was her own decision, not just the last thing she heard was her friend's opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would just feel a bit...
Yeah.
Like, wet.
Yeah. That conversation was okay, actually, wasn't it?
Yeah,
she didn't say anything against Arthur. She didn't say anything bad.
No, it was fine. The thing is, I think I've said to you guys off mic, probably I'd get on better with Laura than I would with Arthur. I quite like Laura.
Yeah.
I just think... And to we've said repeatedly, fair play to you for going outside of your type and trusting the process and all that sort of stuff. But come on, it's been obvious for a while now.
Mm.
And it just seems like you just... Even if it's with good intentions to try and make this different type of relationship work, and you've had some positives from it, but it doesn't feel like that because you keep just talking about all the hard work you've had to put in every week and things. It's just like, just let it go.
I think she was trying to give him a chance to step up, and she said a few times like, you need to meet me halfway, and I think she just got to the end of her tether, but her tether lasted the full amount of the experiment. And then what did he talk about with his friend? His friend was in a long-term relationship. I think he went to his friend for advice. And I think he said his friend had been in like a 17 years.
Long,
and I was like, yeah,
how old are they?
That's definitely long term. The friend looked about 25. I can't do the maths on that.
No. Old enough.
That friend has always seemed quite level, hasn't he? Hasn't he always been? Oh,
yeah, is he one of the bad advice?
Yeah, the bad beginning. Advice, like tell her you love her.
Just go with what feels right.
But didn't Arthur say something quite revealing to that friend? Wasn't he like, yeah, we're not really getting on, but... Or like, we're not... He said something that sounded quite negative, but I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, I can't remember now.
Well, I think Arthur... I think he'd be easy to please and get along with. I think it's always going to be about whether Arthur's partner is happy.
Yeah.
If she's happy, Arthur will be happy.
Happy wife, happy life. No, I do know what you mean.
Do you remember when we were on honeymoon, that couple had those t-shirts?
Stop it.
Yeah, do you remember when we're getting on the plane?
Oh, yes.
It wasn't here, it was in the States, but like the guy had... No. He had happy life and she had happy wife or something like that. But I had like the dot, dot, dots.
So awful.
The
joint... That is awful.
You're amazing.
I worked with somebody once. Her and her sister had a sort of tattoo like that where one had two infinity dot, dot, dot and the other had dot, dot, dot and beyond.
No way.
Wow. Imagine being sisters. Having and beyond.
Oh. Yeah, that's the worst part to have. And beyond.
Wow. No comment.
I think he's just easily pleased.
I know what you mean. He's like quite a level guy. He doesn't get... We've seen him angry a few times, but it's more like grumpy angry.
Yeah.
And I just think he doesn't take things as seriously as maybe they need to be taken.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of like that date thing that I know we've talked about a bit now, but like she didn't really get any sort of... Sorry you feel that way, or maybe that was the wrong thing. He was like, oh, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
He's like, well, it does matter.
I know. And it seems like Laura's maybe done a fair bit of therapy or whatever before, whether that was with our marriage or on our own or what have you. And she's got quite a lot of emotional depth, hasn't she? And it seems like she's learnt that and gone through that and, you know, become attuned to herself emotionally. And I don't think Arthur's there.
Yeah, she's very
so he misses a lot of this.
Yeah, she's very self-aware, isn't she? But also like quite balanced, like she gives people fair chances and like calls out stuff that needs to be called out. And I mean, obviously we'll come now to what they actually said.
Yes.
But I know some people would have
We're just gonna go make a cup of tea. However, let's just quickly do a few bits.
However, have you got any milk?
I actually missed that. Who is it? So I saw
this.
So I saw this tweet. Who was doing the however?
Fucking Laura.
Oh God!
Every other line was however.
Do you know what? I completely
and the music
missed that.
Changed every time.
Oh yeah. Okay.
I mean, look again. I actually think I quite like Laura, but it's just, they make you do this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like you bloody...
It's up and down. And you can almost tell if there is a cliffhanger, if the last thing they said was negative, then they're probably going to be a positive outcome.
Because
they leave you on a positive cliffhanger if it's going to be negative and vice versa. So however, you know, if somebody says something nice as the penultimate thing, it's going to be bad. And if they say something bad as the penultimate thing, it's going to be nice.
Yeah, but how do you know if it's going to be the penultimate thing? Because Laura did four howevers.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
Did you think the sentiment I've seen on Twitter, which personally I didn't think the vows were too brutal, but a lot of people on Twitter did. So I've done a poll on Instagram. I probably should have checked the results before.
Well, when I looked, they were in favour of it being brutal.
Yeah.
I thought the end was. I did think the end was
giving brutal. The ring back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I sort of in her corner because she's carried the weight of the relationship, and because the final letdown from him was that date where he didn't really apologise. That for me was like, oh, that's a little bit too much. Whereas if that hadn't happened, that wasn't someone's stomach, that was the dog.
No treats today.
If he hadn't sort of been really flippant about that going on the date before the show,
yeah.
I would have been much more Team Arthur and felt like that was a bit brutal. But I think she just sort of got to the end of her tether with him, and he said in his vows, you're making me a better person. And that almost played into being quite triggering of like, yeah, but what are you doing for me?
Yeah.
And so in a way I liked that she got the final word. And obviously I don't want to see Arthur get hurt, because I do think he's a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not her guy. And I think it was nice for her to be able to say that at the end and sort of go out with her head held high. And she did that sort of like sassy dance out of like, I wanted like Destiny's Child to go with like independent women or something. Because she said like, I haven't got a relationship from this, but I've got so much more confidence back.
Yeah, but I think this... I don't know if she wanted this narrative or it's the way it's been edited or something. That, yeah, like, oh, I've got this confidence back and, oh, what a difficult time, and I've had to put all this effort into the relationship. But it's not like... The key thing about that is the antagonist, Arthur, hasn't been that bad.
Yeah, no, he's not a bad guy.
It's not like she was matched with Brad, who was controlling her, and she's come through all that. And that's been the story. It's like, Arthur's just... They're just not quite well matched. And he's not really... Arthur's the same as he was at the very beginning. He's a nice enough guy.
Yeah.
He could improve some things, but he's probably not going to.
Laura said something quite interesting, and I think it was to camera, but it was when she was meeting her friend. I think she might have said it directly to camera. And it was about how when she came on this process, she expected to have like a finished article guy or something like that. Do you remember she said, I expected a finished article, but I got more of a project.
Yeah.
I might be getting her wording wrong, but it was almost like that disappointment. And we've seen this in a few of the relationships where their power dynamics are slightly off, where maybe someone hasn't been in a long-term relationship before, so they're learning from scratch, they're at square one, whereas somebody has had the experience or whatever it is. And I think Laura thought she'd walk down the aisle and there'd be somebody who was like, he knew himself and he knew how to conduct himself and he knew how to match her.
Mm.
And Arthur's lovely and he's funny and I do like him, but I think there was that thing of he wasn't quite ready to be married. And in fairness, if he went on a date the week before, he's proved her right.
He wasn't ready then, was he?
But I think that's sort of naive, if that's the case, from Laura to think, like, has she never seen Married at First Sight?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I guess some people are probably riding on, who's the one who ended up, he ended, Duncan.
Duncan
is like that, like, good-looking, ready.
Yeah.
Like, he was on the Maths Australia one. I think there's occasionally, like, a real decent...
Yeah, it was so rare.
Yeah.
I heard an interesting stat from Michael Harmston, who said that Laura, since the revamp, this is the third series of the new format of the UK show, she's the first person to put leave.
What,
in Final Vows?
Yeah. How weird is that? But it's true. Thinking back, he is right.
Really?
Yeah.
No other couple said no at Final Vows.
Not one other person has said no at Final Vows until Laura this year.
Oh my goodness, really?
Yeah.
Which is maybe why it feels a bit brutal.
Yeah.
I think it was the right decision for them both in the long run. I guess it's the delivery. For her, I feel like she needed to do the little speech, or she wanted to do the little speech.
Yeah.
And Arthur did look a bit shell-shocked.
He did.
But that, to me, is a bit naive, because did he think it was going really well?
No, he did. I see a similar thing with him and Matt. That they're just like, as long as there's no, like, well, maybe I was going to say as long as nobody's crying, which Matt seems to just be like, oh, it's going great, it's brilliant.
Right, next to it. No, you're right. Sometimes it's like choosing to see things like in a positive way, which is no bad thing.
But I actually think Arthur's, I don't know what the word I'm looking for. He's so placid in some ways. I think he'll bounce back from this within 40 minutes.
Probably.
Take a bit longer than 40 minutes.
Yeah,
I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, I think he'll be fine. I think probably when he's not in this anymore, he'll be able to look back a bit and think, well, yeah, maybe it wasn't going as well as I'd thought with my rose-tinted glasses
on. I
wonder
what it'll be like in a reunion, though.
Yeah. Oh, with the red wine.
Can't wait for the reunion. Yeah.
So it was Erica and Jordan next, wasn't it?
It was.
Chronologically speaking.
Jordan, I found him very intense.
Yeah, I'm trying to be sympathetic because I think he really struggles with change.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I think that is linked with some of his own sort of mental health or whatever it is and his OCD. And so you could really see that it was shaking him up, her leaving.
Yeah.
But then the pressure is really on her that she's been one of like the main pillars of his life. Do you know what I mean? Like,
of course. So much pressure on her. But it can be a difficult thing to pass because, like, how much of Jordan's intensity is down to his OCD and inability to move on from things, get in his own head or whatever, and how much of it is just because he's young and he's making some sort of, he's a bit too overcommitted in these things. It's hard to know. It's like I did a tweet recently at the dinner party where he's questioning Matt about everything being okay with Adrienne. Jordan wanted further clarification on that. He was basically saying, well, what about the kids issue? And I'd said, I'm not sure questioning was beneficial. And somebody replied to my tweet saying, well, your observation is pointless because he's got OCD. It's like, not everything in his life is about his OCD.
No.
You know.
I know. I think it must be really difficult for Erica to weigh up what's his character and what are the things that he struggles with. And obviously everyone has their struggles and it's whether she can help manage those or he's seeking help. I guess if he wasn't seeking help or he wasn't trying to be open and honest with her about how he was feeling.
Because I've just thought of a way to explain it a bit more.
I know what you mean.
A bit more clearly with an example. He obviously struggles with change, but on the other hand, he's saying, I'll come and move up to Edinburgh and live with your family. She's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I mean, that is the biggest change, isn't it, that he could make at this stage in his life. It's a massive change.
You're absolutely right. And I think that is indicative of the fact that she has become one of his non-negotiables in his life. And so he's willing to be where she is, which is a lot of pressure on her. And I wasn't sure which way it was going to go when she gave her final vows.
I there was a moment where I thought she was going to say leave. And I thought, you know what, it's probably going to be really hard for him.
He was
not like Arthur. I'll take him more than 40 minutes.
Yeah.
It'll be really difficult for him, but it might be for the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When she was doing her howevers, he was starting to crumple a bit, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Quite visibly.
Yeah.
So obviously they're told that their speech has to go back and forth a bit, so we don't know what they're going to say, like, however. But however, but however. And with Erica's, I really wasn't sure which way it was going to go, but you could see he was really starting to flail a little bit of worrying that she was going to say she was leaving.
It does seem particularly cruel given Jordan's.
I know. It's really hard. Like, hats off to him, I guess, for even being on the show, because it's going out on a...
By contrast, though, he did no howevers. He just blasted through his. He was done in 30 seconds.
Well, what's the point in him doing howevers? Well, no, he's not going to say.
Yeah.
We knew he wasn't going to say, no, I don't want to keep going with this relationship.
Yeah.
Given he had just said, I'm moving to Edinburgh as soon as I can.
I mean, he was so upset. Before, when they were leaving the apartments and when you've got your hood up indoors.
I know. We've skirted over a really important part, which is, do you eat popcorn for breakfast?
I was like, why are you eating that at breakfast? It's probably still sitting out there from the night before and they just thought, oh, we'll eat that.
Yeah, what's worse, like really salty popcorn or sweet? Like, what do you fancy in the morning? Neither of those would appeal to me.
No, especially if they're stale and they've been sitting out all night.
It's such a weird night to be having at like 7:30 a.m.
Must have been left over from the night, from the night before.
Must have been.
Oh, man.
But yeah, I know it's bad when you've got your hood up indoors. You're either really hungover or really ill.
Yeah. Do you remember learning in GCSE English of like pathetic fallacy of when something sad's happening, the rain comes in and it's like the weather reflects the moon. It was like the dark hood.
Yeah.
And it's like the pathetic fallacy.
Then he went to see his mum. Yeah, and he was telling her, oh, I'm going to go up to Edinburgh and I'll listen.
Where do they live? Are they really far south? Or is he...
Sheffield.
Oh, so they're halfway up. Halfway there.
Is this your geography?
Well, I didn't know if he was in like Bournemouth or something, which would cause problems.
Oh, that would be
Sheffield, it's only like, 5 hours to Edinburgh. And then Erica's with who we think was a friend, but she just looked like her sister. They looked so alike.
When she came on screen, I thought, is that like a 16-year-old sister or something?
She did look really young, didn't she?
But then I thought, she's But she's boozing though. But then they're Scottish.
There's different rules. That will make sense.
Well, it is a different time zone.
Nice throwback. Yeah. And so her and her friend / sister / Alki were talking about not loads, but like how Erica carries a little bit of the responsibility of making sure Jordan's all right, and does she get heard in the same way she listens to him?
Yeah, which is a fair,
very fair assessment.
Yeah.
Very fair assessment. And I guess it does come back, like we were saying before, about how much is how much is what he needs to manage his life and how much is just his character. Mm-hmm. It's very, very hard to see where the line is.
Yeah. I hope they... Well, what do you think? Do you think they're going to be together come the reunion ceremony tomorrow night? But actually, what, a month later?
I think they will, because we were talking about this before we started recording. I think the reunion's only about a month after the final edit finishes anyway. So I think that's enough time to maybe still be trying your feet into... I never get my sayings right. Just trying it out.
Trying your feet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there will be. Whether they still are now, we don't know.
Yeah,
but I think there will be come reunion. I think they'll come together. Yeah.
Problem is for them if they're a long distance relationship, 4 to 6 weeks later. There's been a lot of train strikes this year.
That's very true.
That can have a big effect.
At the reunion, they might be like, "We're still together, but this is the first time we've seen each other."
Yeah.
Bloody ass left.
Jordan said something that's either quite sweet or quite creepy, depending on where you're at. And I always say this to my friends, like, there can be the same action, but depending on how you feel about somebody, it can have completely the opposite effect. So say you went on a first date with somebody and they sent flowers to your office and you never gave them your office address, but you really, really liked them. You'd be like, oh my gosh. But if you didn't like them, you'd be like, I'm calling the police.
Yeah.
Jordan said to Erica after she'd said she wanted to stay, I look at you and I see everything. Which was quite sweet, because he went on to say, like, having kids together, growing old together. But if you weren't 100% on someone and they said that to you...
It's a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah. He's all in.
They are young, aren't they, as well?
And you can tell that she's not all in. So I think it's like the more stuff like that he says, he might end up pushing her away a little bit.
Yeah, but when he says stuff like that, she does seem all in.
Yeah.
She does, like when they... got to the end of their vows and they were just, you know, talking to the camera or whatever and, you know, being all touchy-feely and giggly and huggy. And she is all in, I think, then.
Well, I think if you meet somebody else who likes popcorn for breakfast, then you cling to them, don't you? Because there's not many people out there.
No, I think she is all in. It's just I don't know whether it'll last. And the age thing is an issue, just because I think, is this like their... first, second serious relationship? Is it likely to be their final one? I don't know. You know, we talk about this a lot, that if they'd have been in from the beginning, maybe we'd be more invested.
Definitely.
I think this was a problem. We said sort of partway through the episode last night, like, oh, it's final vows, we should feel like we're more invested.
But
that being said, when we got to the cliffhanger, we were both like, oh my God!
I don't care what I did.
And you accidentally ever so slightly missed a section of Laura and Arthur's because you'd been pausing and fast-forwarding and rewinding and stuff, and I was not happy about that. And I'm like, I missed a bit!
Fast-forwarded a few seconds too far and she was handing him back the ring. And we were like, oh, fuck!
Stop showing off that your TV pauses. Does not. I feel like with Jordan and Erica, if they'd been in from the beginning, we might have seen more ups and downs that led to us either feeling more confident about them being together or them breaking up. Because they'd had more time to explore, can she put up with what he needs from her?
I don't know if he'd have been able to withstand the process though if he'd been in it for an extra few weeks.
I think they're all kind of saturated with that process now, aren't they?
Yes.
like the rest of us.
God, they only had to live it. Imagine podcasting. Okay, then. Obviously, we've talked about it a little bit. The big cliffhanger. Peggy and George.
Peggy and George.
Starting with George. Every woman's dream, an Amazon Prime rose in a glass case.
Claire had to point out to me that once you said it, I'm sure I've seen the image of it, that it's a Beauty and the Beast
thing. Indeed. All 90s, 80s girls will know.
What is it? When the last petal falls, then your Twitch account is cancelled.
You have to do 20 squads. I mean, that's when the beast stays as the beast.
Right. And is there a... I'm just going to talk about Beauty and the Beast. Did they give any time frame? Has there been a... is it like once a year a petal falls?
No, you just see it.
I just realised it's set in France. He has really understood the assignment, hasn't he? He has A-starred that assignment.
Well, he's got Disney Plus.
Could you have a more Peggy romantic gesture than opening a box and there being a like rose in a glass case? It's hilarious. But if he can keep that up, he is the perfect guy for her, because he gets her. He knows how to like pull her around. I don't know.
She will love it. She'll have you'll walk into a room and the mannequin will be holding the rose in the glass case.
Oh, that mannequin freaks me out. I couldn't have that in my room.
But I was trying to Google last night what her job is, because she referenced working really hard and long hours. And obviously the mannequin, you think maybe it's something to do with fashion. She's like a technology risk advisor or something.
I do remember at the beginning she was calling herself a geek.
Which doesn't sort of chime with her not understanding what Twitch is and all this sort of stuff. And, you know,
you can be a geek but not a gaming geek.
Yeah, you think if she was into tech, she'd understand maybe more about gaming.
Well, I don't know. Tech's massive.
Well, it's massive, I'm not into tech. I've sort of had to learn how to do all this podcast stuff, and I know how Twitch kind of works.
Yeah, but is that not more from Twitter than anything else? Because you don't do online gaming.
No, but that's sort of my point.
I guess Peggy's in tech, but it could be like microwaves. It might be a very specific side of tech. Futuristic microwaves.
You got an air fryer?
No, I don't. I do want one.
Well, that's the big one this year. Get an air fryer for Christmas.
Oh yeah. Don't buy me that for Christmas. This is your warning to not buy me an air fryer.
It's on the podcast.
Rose in a glass case it is.
Okay, I'll have an air fryer.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know which one I'd prefer.
To be fair, like other people have asked what Peggy's job is, and I do remember being sat in front of a monitor with a headset on, so I'm just surprised that she...
I don't remember that. I couldn't have called it what her job was, but she has referenced so many times being ambitious and wanting someone who matches her. And it did make me laugh. I'm not on Peggy's mum's side, but she had one one-liner which made me laugh. It's not a job if he's got no client. He's freelance.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's like you could say, I'm a magician, but I've never been hired for a kid's party. But I am a magician. Well, like, I know that doesn't really work, but you know,
it was a fair.
I'm an Olympic swimmer, but I've not been in the Olympics yet. I can't swim.
It's a fair point.
They're just so obsessed with his financial status. Yeah. Obsessed.
Yeah.
Like, just the repetition of, like, do you picture him as a son-in-law? Fucking hell, I know the answer to that at this point.
The question was massively unfair, because the question was, is he your perfect son-in-law? I mean, who would ever ask their parents that?
But nobody's going to say yes to that, because there's no perfect. Well, unless, I don't know.
She already knew what her mum was going to say.
Of course. That was a really
That was
a really uncomfortable conversation, not least of all because they were sat in a row.
I was going to say,
and they just next to look. If Peggy wanted to talk to her sister, she had to lean a little bit forward and look down.
Get out of the way, Mum.
Yeah. Elbowing the mum back into the sofa. Yeah.
But is he perfect son-in-law, though?
Nobody is. Like, it's a stupid question.
I
think the sister went ever so slightly softer because the mum was taking the hard line. The sister was a bit like, well, do you like him? Are you happy?
Yeah.
I can't remember what she asked, but it was ever so slightly softer than she's been before.
And she sort of said, well, you don't know yet. Because Peggy said something like, well, I don't know that yet, Mum, because it hasn't happened. And the sister sort of agreed, didn't she? Like, yeah, you don't know, like... Mm-hmm.
I think, to be fair to Peggy, on this occasion, she did actually say, look, I have strong feelings for George.
She said it's the happiest they've ever been.
She was expressing some positivity about George.
For the first time.
Yeah. And then her mum was saying, well, then you should know how you feel. It's like, well, this is it. I don't know how I feel because I don't want to be at work and he's just sat home gaming all day.
Yeah, which you aren't going to know until you just live in your lives.
But he's assured you that that isn't how he sees their life.
But also we know he doesn't sit and game all day, because doesn't he do some sort of physio rugby?
But is that a job that if you've got no clients?
Yeah. I think he has ambitions. I've just got such limited sympathy for Peggy in certain scenarios, because all she's done is badmouth him to her family. Mm-hmm. So when they don't like him, it's like, but you haven't set him up to be likable to them. Mm-hmm. You've told them negative things and now you're trying to defend him. It's like, if you'd said a mix of good and bad all the way through, and now you're siding more on the good.
He likes rimming, but he also likes holding hands.
Yeah. Exactly, a bit of both. I think she's seen a side of George that she hasn't told her family about until the final vows, and so they're like, well, he sounds awful, you've only told us bad stuff.
Yeah.
So it's sort of on her, because she hasn't set him up to be a likeable son-in-law. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was really lovely when he came to meet them, but they'd already made their minds up because they'd only heard sort of negative things.
Yeah. What do you think then? What do you think the answer's going to be from Peggy?
I think she'll put... I won't stay, even though that's not what they put. But I think she'll say yeah. I think she'll say yes, we'll give it a try in the real... on the outside.
Right.
Where it ended, they were both in tears. Mm-hmm. So it was, it looked like it was going to get really emotional. And I think he was in tears because he thought she might be about to say no.
Yes.
She was in tears for whatever reason, I've got no idea. But in my theory of it ends on a negative, it will probably be a positive. That's the only reason I think, not the only reason, but I think she is going to write stay. Mm-hmm. Because I think it's ended on that cliffhanger of us thinking like she's about to break his heart. Mm. And then she's going to pull it around and go, but...
However.
So I think she's going to say I do.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't.
No.
You think she's going to say no, it's just not going to work.
Yeah, I think she's going to say no, family is too important and all this. I think whatever this twist is, it's going to involve them. I'm not really put that much thought into it, but I reckon that George and Adrienne are going to have been dating since we're going to find this out at the reunion.
What?
Yeah. So, which means that Matt and Adrienne are not going to.
Where
do you get that?
So not at this point. They're not dating at this point. No. We're at now.
Oh, for a minute I thought you meant he'd been cheating.
So did I.
Like, that would be a twist.
Yeah, then he'd be a very good actor if that was the case.
Because... No. I think what will happen is Peggy will say no. Matt and Adrienne, she'll probably say no to Matt.
Right. Yeah.
And then in the 4 to 6 weeks between the end of the final vows and the reunion, George and Adrienne will have done some
I wasn't sure if the twist was going to be before the reunion, because so much can happen.
Yeah.
The reunion is almost not a twist. It's just they've gone back to their normal lives.
Yeah.
Anything can happen. The twist needs to be in the show.
Right, so you think the twist is going to be tonight?
No, not necessarily. I don't know what's going to happen.
In somebody's vows.
No, maybe. I mean, some people were guessing that Jay and Luke were going to come back.
Mm.
And the twist was that they get the
come
chance
back for final
to do
vows.
Their final, but I don't think that's going to happen, because you can't like sack someone from a show. Although I'm sure they can do whatever they want, but I think I'd find it strange if they were brought back just to do their final vows.
Yeah.
We haven't seen anything of them.
Yeah.
What were some of the other guesses? There were some quite funny guesses.
All right, well, yeah, I'm looking at some of our listeners' predictions. Somebody has said, this is maybe what put the seed in my mind, George and Adrienne come to the reunion as a couple.
Mm.
She's his type, I guess, if he likes...
And they got on, didn't they, on their
blonde women
date.
Who...
Well, not date, partner swap.
Oh, that was it. They had a really good time on the partner swap. But it was quite platonic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, but, I mean...
Things can grow.
Yeah.
Arthur knocked up his last date. That's one. Ros and Thomas come back.
That'd be cute. I wouldn't call that a twist. I'd just be like...
Yeah.
Well, they are coming, aren't
that's
they?
That's true. They're
reunion.
Coming.
They're not going to come to final vows.
Of course
What's
they're not going to... That's a weird one, actually.
Somebody else saying Adrienne runs off with George, which is a weird way of putting it. But
runs off.
JJ and Bianca are together.
Definitely not.
No, I can't see that happening. Although maybe he's like, oh, I jumped a good thing when he went from Bianca Taylor. I found it really interesting. I don't know if you picked up on this. So you know how Peggy said when they did the homestay, my mum is always right.
Mm-hmm.
She said this time, my mum is usually right.
Oh.
So it had softened. And it was just in that one little change of the word where I was like, she is becoming more autonomous and realizing that she can't just obey her parents and follow their lead because they're not infallible. And I just thought it was really interesting because I couldn't believe at the home stay she said my mum is always right. Like, nobody's always right. That's a really strange take to have. Then to say my mum's usually right, but maybe she's wrong this time. That's why I think she probably is gonna, she's softened in her like need to please her family.
So you two think they're going to stay together?
Yes.
I think they're not. But even if you're right, I don't think they'll be together by the reunion.
Do you not?
It's hard to say. It's just, I wish the reunion was longer than a month.
Yeah, I do.
Because it doesn't give much chance for it to settle and to you to be back in your normal life. There'll still be all like the media hoo-ha around. Like, within a month of it finishing, you're going to be doing like more bits with Channel 4 and more like settling back into like packing in a suitcase. Like, a month is a very long time.
No, it's not like, long enough.
Like you said about Erica and Jordan, they might have only done one trip to Edinburgh in that time or one trip to Bournemouth wherever he lives, Sheffield.
Yeah.
It needs to be longer, doesn't it?
So I don't know if she's had such a funny line on the cliffhanger. Is he a prince or is he just a charmer? Yeah, that was really funny. I was like, who wrote that? One of the runners. Meanwhile, George is like got a tear gently rolling down his cheek. Like, you couldn't help
but
feel for him.
He was very emotional, wasn't
he? You couldn't help but feel for him. Like, he's obviously grown some real... He's caught feels.
Yeah, I think everybody wanted George to... have, you know, it was never going to happen where there would be a last minute thing of, it's just not right, I shouldn't have to work this hard.
Yeah.
It would have been really interesting if she'd gone first, because you know, you can always tell with how they do the ordering of who they think might, well, they've obviously read the letters, so the producers know what they're going to say.
Yeah. God.
But if Peggy had gone first, we would have known George was going to say no by the very virtue of putting him second. Does that make sense?
No, go on.
So they try and get the drama from the last of the couple. The second person to go is normally the one who holds the cards. So like with Erica and Jordan, you know, Jordan, I always do that soft J. With Erica and Jordan, we sort of knew Jordan was going to say yes. So Erica went second because the drama is she saying
yeah,
so
yeah.
No.
Arthur and Laura.
With Peggy and George, he went first, got it over and done. And we knew he was sort of, if he'd been second, I think we would have been like, wow, is he about to say no?
Yeah.
Because he's second. And they've read the letters that, like, obviously the producers have read the letters of what they're going to say.
Yeah. And it was all the men that went first, wasn't it?
Because the women are the ones who can't decide what they want.
Well, another thing that somebody's put in their predictions of the twist is that Paul refuses Tasha at their final vows tonight, which I don't think is ever going to happen. In fact, they'll probably be the last couple because they always tend to end the series
on a positive.
Okay. And, you know, initially... Paul and Tasha were the
golden couple
until the sort of the shine went off Tasha, really.
How did you first hear there was a twist? We're putting a lot of emphasis on this fictitious twist that might not come. I know Tasha said on our Instagram that there is a twist, but how did you first hear there was one?
Just somewhere on the grapevine or something. Yeah. I've got my ear to the ground.
On the wind. twist.
Yeah, but Tasha's reply could be interpreted as... it's such a low level thing that it's totally built out of
all
proportion.
For anyone who,
I'm talking about different people coming back in together, and it might just be like, Luke and Jay are back at the final reunion.
Yeah,
and that's it.
That's it. Oh wait, we're expecting them at the reunion, though, aren't we?
I don't know. Like Sarah was saying, so. I don't know if they.
I would have thought they'd be at the reunion, blah, blah, blah. But then I guess not, because Shona and Brad. Oh no, Shona's at the reunion. We know she mentioned but then I don't know if Brad would be.
No.
Yeah, but...
Oh, it's all in the air. It's all up in the air.
Well, I've just realised then that what do you think about the other couples tonight? We should make some predictions.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Matt and Adrienne. I'm going against my twist theory, because I actually think the way they are, we've seen at the moment that they would both say yes, but I was just trying to reach for a exciting twist.
I think Matt will say yes. I'm not convinced Adrienne will.
I'm the same as you, and I think if they say yes, it will have fizzled by the reunion.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think Paul and Tasha will both say yes.
Yes.
And who does that leave?
Ella and JJ.
Oh, Ella and JJ is going to be a bit of a one.
Yeah.
Get the breakfast popcorn out, because that's... yeah, that's going to be very interesting, because I don't think he's going to want to hurt her, but I don't see him saying stay.
I don't think he'll say stay.
Unless her behaviour's changed should she change her behaviour? Should she just stay being who she is? She obviously enjoys a drink and being an extrovert and all that sort of stuff, but like, JJ's not willing to put up with that, so I don't know how that's going to go.
I'm not sure. That's my insight.
that's a prediction. Well,
this
I don't
is the
know.
Problem this year, like, we're not that sold into anybody.
Yeah.
Like, if Peggy says no tonight, I'll feel sorry for George because it's humiliating, but I don't think they're going to get married and stay married and have kids. Mm. Like, so it's like, who am I invested in?
I know.
Thomas and Ross.
Yeah, I know.
Gone.
Terrence and Portia. Will they be at the reunion?
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Well, they should be.
Yeah,
to be honest,
I imagine Portia's going to come back in firing her mouth off. Like.
To be honest, one of the couples I really started to like was Mark and Sean.
Right.
Oh, Mark and Sean.
I really started to like them because I think Sean just dealt with him really well.
Yeah.
And Mark was really starting to soften and, like, you know, bring his walls down or whatever cliche you want to use. And then they ended so abruptly that it was a little bit harrowing.
Oh, yeah. I will be excited to see them at the reunion, actually.
Maybe that's the twist. Maybe it turns out Mark and Sean are both ghosts.
Aww.
Did we ever see him interact with anyone else?
Yes. What about Nathaniel? Are we betting that he's not going to be at the reunion?
I don't think he will be.
So many people have got bad blood this year, though, because obviously Brad was asked to leave, and by all parts, Shona was as well. Luke was asked to leave. Like, other people, and Nathaniel, like, stormed off and went to the press and had his, like, tell-all story, like, fair play, whatever. But so many people have been, like, forcefully removed.
Yeah.
Are they going to be invited? Like, please come back for the reunion.
Yeah.
It'd make good drama, which I guess is part of the programme, isn't it?
Yeah. It's not as bad as Nigel Farage being on I'm a Celebrity.
Oh, God.
Did you see the clip of Matt Hancock on Celebrity SAS?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Being called a weasel-faced cunt.
Oh, we can't have the C word on our podcast.
He puts the little explicit icon,
this is
don't
PG.
You?
You bad man.
All right. Well, that's us for today. And then we're going to be back on Friday with... We'll see if all our theories and predictions are correct.
Have exploded.
Yeah. Final episode on Friday.
Yeah, we'll have to do a bit of a recap of what, if we can be asked.
Depends how much there is to talk about from the reunion commitment ceremony.
I think there'll be a lot to talk about,
party.
But given that it's the last one, I might just go like, right, blast through it, 10 minutes, we're done.
And then we need to say, like, everyone have a lie down, we'll see you in February for Maths Australia.
Yeah, exactly.
Although, did you see the preview for Maths New Zealand?
No.
Oh, well, that's starting next week, so we'll see you next Tuesday and Friday, okay?
I was about to make a see you next Tuesday joke. After Umar's potty mouth.
Matt Hancock, though. Okay, well, for now then, goodbye from me, Omar Abid.
Goodbye from me, Sarah Clark.
Goodbye from me, Claire Abid.
However... No, it is goodbye.
It is goodbye.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
So now we're joined by one of last year's most popular participants on Maths UK, a friend of the show, Lara Eyre. Hi, Lara.
Hi, and fan of the show as well. So,
thank you.
Although you guys have been messing me up because I'm trying desperately not to listen right away because I don't want to listen to your podcast on a Tuesday and then do my podcast on a Friday because I can hear you in my head. So I got to get, like, sometimes I forget. And when I'm on the bus and I put my headphones on, I go, "Ooh, new episode." I'm like, no, don't hit it.
I know exactly what you mean.
The funny thing when you're doing something like this is that the whole point of it is that you're talking about what everyone else is saying. We're all saying the same.
We're all saying the same things. Yeah. It is like, weird.
Wild takes.
Because sometimes I do. Yeah, I listen to yours and I think after I've done mine and I listen to yours and I think, oh, that's exactly what we said.
Yeah,
you're all saying the same thing.
I did think
you guys are just nicer.
I did think the episode where you and Jan defended Brad for an hour and 30 minutes was a bit extreme.
You wind up.
Oh, well, actually, we've interviewed Brad.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that.
Well, no, it hasn't come out yet.
Oh.
But I will say that I left that interview with a different take on Brad than I did watching it. Although he has agreed that he let me send him his dick of the week. So that's going in the mail.
So we probably should say here that Lara, you've got your own podcast. Would you like to explain for our listeners yours?
Yeah, well, it's all because of Omar, actually. I did Married at First Sight. Although my edit was really good, I came off okay. I didn't feel like it really reflected who I was because of the narrative that they had. And when Omar invited me to come on the podcast, I'd never even listened to a podcast before. And,
oh, really?
And I loved it. I really loved just talking and forcing people to listen to me. So I was like, amazing. And I can do it in my own home. I can do it in bed. So I just thought this is such a great experience. And I do encourage people who do the reality TV to go on people's podcasts, because it really is cathartic to come and tell your side of the story. And then I got so addicted to it, I just decided to start my own. So sorry, Omar.
I know, I did. On the one hand, I was pleased. And then I also thought, become a direct
you,
competitor to
what
we do. Thanks for our enemies close.
Thanks for the opportunity, Omar. And now fuck you, I'm starting my own.
So Lara on Air, and people can listen wherever they get their podcasts.
Wherever they get their podcasts.
Is yours strictly just about Married at First Sight, or do you talk about other shows as well?
No, it's just Married at First Sight. It's just, as you guys know, it's so consuming, isn't it? I just, the thought of having to take on another show is just, it's too much at the moment.
Well, with the, because I know you do, especially the Australian one, I saw that you have a lot of interviews with cast members. You've got loads of interviews. And it sort of made me think, we've not done as many this series, which wasn't necessarily a deliberate choice. You know, it's difficult scheduling and everything. Especially as the series goes on, and there's so many people who still haven't left the show, then you know that towards the end of the series, we felt like, oh my God, how are we going to fit in anyone who comes off now? Because they're basically all still there.
The only person we've interviewed is Shona.
Yeah.
From the current season.
From the current season, because it just became really difficult to even try and fit anyone in. But another thing was, do you feel compared to your year, they're just generally much more online and available, and there's so many leaks?
I really feel like Channel 4 has done them a disservice this year, because I feel like there was so much pre-press before this show started, right, which we didn't have. I feel like they didn't even think about the edit or anything else. They were just thought they were so famous before the show actually started. I think that wasn't good for them, because it gave them a lot more power, and it also gave them more ambition, and it also made them think that they could share so much more stuff because they were allowed to share so much before the show actually came out. And yeah, I think it's ruined the show for some people, how much we knew. I mean, I had to stop looking at Google. I can't go on there because every time, because of my search history, it just says all this stuff about maps. And I was like, no, I can't look at that. Because why do we want to watch the journey of people if we already know episode 2, all the shit that happens at the end? So,
I know, I totally agree.
Yeah. And plus, I think also people didn't want to, they already thought they were like reality stars before it started. And I think that changes how much they're going to give to us on a podcast, because I think they all, again, I shouldn't say this, they all want to start their own podcast now.
Am I right in thinking, and I think you heard this from Adrian, that the Australian one is stricter and you can't access your social media account until the show has come out. That would be better because I remember going on the Australian contestant sites and they were sort of frozen in time and then you don't have any spoilers and there's such real purity to watching it that way because you genuinely don't know. Like, we knew Luke was angry from very early on and we had spoilers that he was going to be asked to leave. Yeah. And it's such a shame because I was quite invested in him and Jay. And then it twists how you feel about it because you know they're going to leave.
Exactly. I mean, this is the thing. Like, they know the because as the show becomes more like the Australian show with more people picked for the drama, people picked for the celebrity, then you're going to get people who are not as invested in finding love, but invested in how they're going to be portrayed on social media and what they can get for it, which means they will leak stuff. They'll want to get their side of the story across. They'll want to tell people, right? They won't just want to be shown as they are on TV if they don't think it's helpful to whatever they want to do next. Mm. So as much as I felt for the Australian kids, I put it my grandma, all the Australian kids. The Australian cast. Yeah, I think that's why they've done it now, because I think they can't be trusted with their own social media because they will want to respond, you know. Luke wanted people to know why he was mad. Nathaniel wanted people to know his side of the story. Everybody doesn't want to come across as an asshole on an edit if it's not, especially if it's not totally true.
So you said you had quite a favorable edit. You did. You came across really well. And obviously you're lovely in real life as well. Were you worried about that going into the show?
No, I didn't care about any of that. I just thought you go on. I mean, I was really quite naive, though. Like, I just wanted to find somebody. So and I loved the show. I just thought if I just go and I'm just genuine, it'll all be OK, which, I mean, luckily for me, it was. But I know for some people it isn't. And I've actually spoken to Nathaniel this week and I actually had to do a bit of apologizing on that podcast because I was quite harsh about his edit, and I didn't watch any of the stories either. So you know, obviously I know you guys do as well, take it as we watch it, and the edit is truth till the end. Mm-hmm. And we can discuss otherwise. I didn't read any of Nathaniel's stories or what happened to him or anything, and he was a little upset with me because I think he thought, and I'm sure the other people do as well, because I can be quite, I don't pull any punches, do I? And I think they think because I was on the show, I should know better, that it might not be true. But I can't do a podcast on what might or might not be true about somebody because they put something on their Instagram page, you know? That's why I do like to do the interviews at the end because, you know, especially with the Australian one, because they don't have the duty of care that we do here. And I think some of them really do get a terrible, terrible edit. So you do get to hear some of the stories. And I think it's helpful for them to then be able to come across and say, look, this isn't, because like what we heard from some of the Australian people, that they were saying, they were told everything they were doing was great. Keep it up. Keep saying what you're saying. That's going to come off great. You're going to be a hero in this. You're going to be the nation's sweetheart, right? So they just kept saying the same things. But when they edited it, it looks like they're just being assholes. And so that just got worse and worse. When they came out, they had no idea that people weren't going to like them. They were absolutely shocked.
And also Adrian told us, not to go back to Adrian again, but he told us that with the Australian rules of television, they can edit something so it's not even from the same week.
Yeah, they can put it.
It's not even to the same person.
Yeah, they can chop and paste anything. And I think there's actually an episode where you can see that Harrison pulls the same face three times in one episode, but it's the exact same clip.
Okay.
So, you know, does this funny face, but then I thought, hang on, I've seen him do that face, and I realized it was the same, and I went back because I'm an insane person, and I was like, and he's doing it to different people, but he must have just done it once. I mean, we don't even know if it was in that same conversation. I do, however, think that no matter how the edit is made, you can still see somebody's core being.
I agree. I think it'd be very hard to edit somebody into a complete villain if there wasn't anything. Although, yeah. One of the most fascinating edits, and I'm going to forget her name. Who was the blonde girl?
Olivia.
That was wild because she came across so sweet and innocent. And then suddenly she was so nasty. And I was like, where's that come from? But then it was really interesting because it had been a purposeful edit because then they showed some things that she'd said from before the show started, but they'd kept back. And it was things about like cutting up a bridesmaid's dress.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, okay, so you'd purposely kept that back. And So she'd shown that side of herself that we'd not been shown.
Here's the thing. If you say it, they can use it, right? So even if you're a lovely... I didn't do anything wrong on the show, but like I say things that are shit all the time. Like, do you know what I mean? And what if I had just offhandedly made a joke to somebody and said... not to anybody, but said, what a wanker, you know, about maybe somebody not even in the show, maybe a footballer or something on the news. And then they clip that into me. Somebody's having a terrible moment where they're raw on the couch and they turn to me and I'm going, what a wanker.
Yeah.
Right. That's going to change how you feel about me. Right. You're going to say, wow, she didn't even care about those people's feelings. So this is the problem. They do tell you, and they were very strict about it. They say, if you say it, we can use it. And they must have said it to me about 50 times before the show starts. So I think because I'm older, maybe, and I've got kids, and I knew I had a family here, you know, like I have responsibilities. I've got kids that are in school. I was very aware that I needed to not be a complete dick on TV. So, you know, but then that doesn't make great telly either, though, does it?
Well, this is what I was about to ask you. Were you a fan of Maths when it was in its original format and much more gentle? And sort of-
I was. Yeah, I was. But I think I did prefer the Australian one. So that's, you know, that is bad but I just think the Australians do the drama better. I don't know if it's better, but it seems more crazier, but more genuine. I don't know what it is, but I felt like there was times in this series where I felt like it was a daytime drama program, like Portia saying, such disdain and all that malarkey. Like it just Peggy slamming that door on the honeymoon because her husband doesn't mind if she decides she wants to do OnlyFans because he's a decent human being. But, I felt like some of it was drama for drama's sake, and it didn't feel authentic to me, and that was the difference.
Well, let's get stuck into this series okay. Then. So let's start with the positives. Who do you like? This will be quick.
It really is, right? Who do I like? That's a hard one. I do love George, actually, and I didn't think I would like him at the beginning. And I really did grow to like him. And I don't know if it's just because Peggy's been beating him with that bloody my family hates you stick or what, or the online content thing, but I have warmed to George a lot. And I really liked Mark, and I didn't think I would like Mark either. I mean, that's the thing. The people that I ended up liking, I didn't like at the beginning. Like, I really was like, oh, this person's going to really wind me up. And then we interviewed Mark. That's going to come out soon as well. And honestly, I felt so bad for the guy. Like, he was barely on the show. he got the edit for his wedding like he was the worst bridezilla known to man. And the memes that everybody did about him, like, which he's taken really well, by the way.
Oh, good.
But, you know, and then just to get nothing from it and no husband and to come off as the nation's joke, it was, yeah. I feel really sad for
this,
him.
This is what we refer to as doing a Lara.
Yes, exactly. That's what I said to him. Actually, I'm going for lunch with him tomorrow in London. Because I said, well, I'll commiserate with you because I totally know what it's like to gain no followers, get nothing from the show, don't get a husband, just look bewildered for two episodes and then go home.
Oh, and have a really crap honeymoon. And where was yours? Like,
again, yeah. Austria. No, Germany. German Alps.
Everyone else is somewhere glamorous. You're freezing in that blanket.
I know, but because no one wanted to see Richie in a thong.
I really like Mark too. Maybe there's something in that George's first edit wasn't great. We've talked a lot about, you know, the stuff he said about women. And then Mark's first edit wasn't great, you know, demanding the skull.
Skull buttons from Amazon for $21.99.
Actually, maybe the show does you a favor if your first edit is shocking, because then all you can do is improve people's opinions of you and have the nation warm to you. Whereas if you start off all right, is the only way down? I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Unless you're Whitney. I think she started off shitty and then she just continued to stay shitty.
Well, what do you think of, because we've just watched the first set of Final Vows last night. What do you think of Laura and Arthur?
Oh, well, I think they should have left weeks ago. And I find it I find it annoying that they bang this relationship out for so long. She clearly wasn't going to end up with Arthur. And as lovely as he was emotionally not mature enough for her, or they didn't seem to have much in common. And he was a total boob at that last dinner party. Like, I think he should have just packed his shit and gone home then. But I think they should have left at that dinner party. To do final vows is to suggest that there is a good chance you can make this relationship work. And I don't think they were there. I think they should have done what Adrian and Thomas did last year and just bow out gracefully at the last dinner party and say, we're not going to force people to sit through an hour of TV where we pretend like this is going to go somewhere with my however speech.
Yeah. But Arthur said, I do. So Arthur clearly thought there was something worth clinging to.
Arthur had not a clue throughout the series. He thought he was on a whole nother show. He didn't know. He thought she was in love with him. He was so delusional. He genuinely looked like he couldn't believe she wasn't going to say yes. He doesn't even have a house to live in.
I mean, someone has to be exceptionally rude to Arthur for him to get, like her friends, to get that they're not happy.
Yeah. Oh my God. And her friends, we've seen more of those two on this series than we've seen some of the couples, right?
Genuinely.
It was like, how did they manage to get so much airtime? They've been on the show longer than I was on the show.
I was thinking with the amount of airtime some of the friends get, you'd recognize them in Sainsbury's.
Oh yeah.
Definitely.
Wouldn't you?
I don't think they did her any favors either, because I mean, to be fair, I do agree with a lot of what they were saying. She's not going to march him into a restaurant in Chelsea with her friends and not going to hang out and have high tea and have an okay time. He doesn't fit into whatever her world is. But it was their delivery that was shocking and embarrassing.
What about Erica and Jordan?
Yeah, you know, everyone keeps telling me that Erica's really lovely, but I just can't have a hard time seeing it. I'm not a fan of Erica. And I love Jordan because I think that he seems to be on the right side of every argument. But it seems like the group just doesn't like him. And I can't figure out what we're not seeing, because they really do go in for him. Even when he seems to be saying the right things, everyone's telling him to shut up. But I also think that he isn't in the best mental place to be on a show like this and to get married to somebody, because I think he's going to be a lot of work. And I don't think that's what she came on for. And I like them as a couple, but I think it's going to be a lot of her having to take care of his feelings. And I don't think they're old enough for that.
During the homestay, both Jordan's mum and Erica were suggesting he needed to have some therapy, weren't they? They were talking about like tackling his OCD with stuff. So I guess it is valid for you to say that he's maybe not ready.
Yeah, because I think, especially because this show is so stressful. It's stressful for people who are in the best place of their lives. And for Jordan, it seems like he needs a routine to function and to do really well, right? To be his best self. And I think putting him in a pressure cooker situation where you had no control over anything that was happening to him probably didn't help him present himself in the best light to the group. And I think and then once the group didn't like him, that must have been very stressful for him as well, because he felt constantly attacked. And I think if you've got something like OCD or anything like that, I imagine being in your own home, in your own element, having a routine is probably going to be healthier for you than doing that show. So I applaud him for doing it, because I imagine it must have been difficult. But I think it's a shame, because it didn't help him come across well to the others. And I think that must have been really difficult for him.
Yeah, there was that moment in the last commitment ceremony where they were talking about the anonymous letters, and Laura said, she was alluding to the fact that basically everything negative was written by Jordan. And he piped up and said, well, actually, Erica wrote that bit. And everyone just turned to him and said, Jordan, why don't you shut the fuck up? Yeah.
No, I felt so bad for him. I was like, that whole thing where she said, I was so supportive, you know, he didn't want to do the wife swapping. Then to like drop him at the middle of the dinner party and say what a wanker he was because she didn't get to do wife swapping week. Like, either stand up for him and actually stand by his side, or say, you know what, I want to do it and you're not going to steal my experience, and then go do that. But it's like she got best of both worlds. She got to keep saying what a great wife she was, and then she got to throw him under the bus at the same time. I find that couple confusing, but I was still rooting for them.
Well, I know what you mean about him being on the right side of the arguments, though, because just to sort of move slightly to a different couple, he was disagreeing with Luke about the whole robbing a bank.
Yeah, he was the only one. He was the most vocal person saying, well, why are you trying to, like, even in, why are you trying to orchestrate a situation even like in your mind where you would cheat on your wife? What do you gain from that? And everyone, like, he was the only one saying that. And I do agree with you, Lara. More often than not, I was like, Jordan's speaking a lot of truth here, but everyone's ganging up against him. And I could never work out why.
You know, because it seemed like a real bro code situation to me where, like, and you could see, like, in some of their eyes, that they knew what was being said is wrong, but nobody wanted to be that guy that goes against the other guys. Whereas Jordan, just somebody says something and Jordan goes, no, not right. And I don't think they like that.
Maybe that's Jordan's modus of, like, of arguments where he just has to say something if it's factual to him, which is maybe why he went, Erica wrote that bit. Just he couldn't hold it back. It was just fact to him, so he wasn't going to pretend.
Yeah, I think the truth is more important to Jordan than social the delivery and the situation he's in. Like, you know, so I wouldn't want to tell Jordan any of my secrets.
What do you think will happen with the cliffhanger we were left with last
night? God, I can't listen to it any. How have they managed to create this narrative that has gone for this many weeks only on the basis of two comments, right? Like, it never gets resolved. We never move forward. She sat on the couch last week and said, I choose you. I don't care what my family thinks. I choose you. Only to, in the next 5 minutes, cut to a clip where she says, oh, I don't know. Well, my family doesn't like him, you know? And it's the same thing. Oh, I don't know what to do. I can't decide. You said you decided. You sit on the couch. I call liar.
Having actually been on the show yourself, you have far more insight than we do. Do you think she's told, do you think maybe she has resolved it in her head, but she's told by the producers, you still have to have the audience not knowing what you're going to choose?
I don't know, because I think it's probably gotten worse this series, because I've heard from some people that they've been asked not to say things or do things where the only thing I was asked to do was to leave. I said it before. It's like the Jenna and Zoe thing. They made that whole veganism thing that was driving us crazy, but they didn't carry that out for an entire series, right? Like, they couldn't have made it that for the whole thing. And I don't understand how they've managed to do this. And you would think if she was really honest about being on the show and being there for love, then she wouldn't agree to do that this long. I don't understand her motivation. I don't think she seems like she's attention grabbing, but I also don't think there's something authentic about it. And I can't put my finger on it, but it seems like there's a lie in there somewhere and I don't know what it is.
As viewers, it's become very tiring. And it's also become quite distressing at times, because it's not fair to see somebody told, nobody likes you, my family don't like you, none of the other people on this show like you. Like, that is a really distressing thing to watch, whether it's a bloke or a girl at the end of it.
And I think because he's a guy, nobody's getting as upset. But if it was a guy saying it to a girl, we'd be having very different ideas about it. And none of the experts bring Peggy up on the fact that no matter how hard he tries or every nice thing he does for her, she shoots it down and ruins it by saying something shitty and negative at the end. Like, that's like, and they just keep ignoring it and telling him just to be a better person week after week. That's it. You grow up, George, you be a man, you grow up, you know. And I just think, why is she not being held accountable? But I felt like that a lot in the couples this year, that some of the women aren't seeming to be held to account and the men are being asked to be better, which is a weird thing. And I don't know why. Like Laura and Arthur, we had the same kind of dynamic on the couch where she kept saying that she was helping him be a better person. And he was a liar. We just talking about these lies all the time. We didn't even see them, you know. And it wasn't like everything she did was okay and everything he did was wrong. Everything Peggy does is okay and everything Georges does is wrong. It just seems very weird to me.
Has anyone ever bought you a rose in a plastic glass case?
Was it Beauty and the Beast? What the fuck was that? That was the worst gift. I almost wanted to text George after and go, what was that?
Bless him. But I was saying earlier on our podcast bit, he really knows the assignment. He really understands her, because you couldn't get more Peggy than that. But it's so funny because it's so infantile. Like, that's such a, like, kids Disney party cousin, and she's a grown woman. And
is like, she though?
Wow, it was so funny because it was so Peggy. It couldn't have been more perfect.
Yeah.
But then it just arriving in the crappy little Amazon Prime box is what made me laugh. I said, oh, I've got a sharp knife.
Especially because you can actually make it as a gift, right? He could have had it gift wrapped and then put into the box. He could have just checked that little thing that said, this is a gift, but he didn't even do that. It just came in cardboard.
What did he have to Google, like, to find that?
Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, no, but, yeah.
Gifts for 8-year-old girls?
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm going to my niece's party. I know what you mean about George. I've definitely warmed to him. Just from, like, the thick skin he's had to have. And the fact that you've wanted him to stand up for himself more than he has, but he's taken a lot of negativity.
Well, he says the group still doesn't like him. He says he's still excluded, which I think is weird. He says he doesn't know to this day why they don't like him. I said to him, it's probably because Peggy keeps telling everybody that you're such an asshole.
Yeah, well, that's the sentiment like online, is that everyone didn't like George on his first episode. And now everyone likes George.
Did you see last night when they showed you the clips from the first episode? And I was like all over again. I was like, no.
That's the thing. Like, he has changed so much. It was really jarring. Yeah. It was jarring to see him do his bits to camera where he was like doing like the gun show arms, and, like the Borat impression.
Mummy milkers.
Oh, I know. I watched it and I thought, oh, I wish I could have just never remembered that this had happened because it's like just so bad.
I want to make sure we get your opinion on all the big things this series. So JJ, Ella, Bianca, what was her fella's name? Nathaniel, right?
Yeah.
What about that whole thing?
Well, I've obviously spoken to Nathaniel now, and I've gotten the whole story about how he felt, because I did think he just had written Ella off because she wasn't what he wanted, and she wasn't sophisticated enough or maybe emotionally grown up enough for him, and he'd just checked out. But then I apologized to him, because as we've watched the end of the series, and we see that when she drinks and she's insecure, she tends to say some not so nice things, and and I feel like if we go back to the beginning and look at what Nathaniel was saying or trying not to say when he was saying, I've been covering for you, I've been hiding things for you, I've supported you and you've been lying, and we were like, what is he on about? I think that's what was happening on the honeymoon. I think she got drunk because he wasn't touching her and giving her the affection she wanted, and I think she got nasty, drunk and nasty on that honeymoon, and I think that colored everything and he was done. He said he was asked, they wouldn't let him leave, so that's why he stayed in so long. But he also said that she didn't like JJ. She didn't find him attractive at all until she found out that he wasn't gelling with Bianca.
All right.
Oh, wow.
That's a bit of tea.
Yeah. I won't tell you anymore because it'll ruin mine. But he does say some more stuff. And I feel bad for Bianca as well, because I feel, again, that people that come on because they apply come on because they are desperately trying to find somebody. And I feel like they seem to be used more for entertainment than they actually do find them somebody good, because she got everything. She got everything she said she didn't want. She said she didn't want turkey teeth. She didn't want tattoos. She didn't want a playboy or somebody who went out and partied too much. And in walks JJ, right? So, and I just feel really bad because she was so authentic. And
She seemed to warm to who she was given, because she was giving him like a full chance.
Yeah, but see, I was like that too. I mean, when you want it so bad and you think, I've been matched for a reason, and maybe I can't see what it is, and maybe the way they're treating me isn't nice, but maybe it's that they're coming from a place of fear, or maybe they just aren't comfortable with the process. And if I just give it everything, it'll all come clear. And then in a week or two, like the Roz and Thomas thing, you think it all suddenly just fit and will be great. So I think in the real world, if someone treats you like that, you'd probably just tell them where to go and you'd leave. But when you're in this, you've given up so much to be in it, you're going to try harder to try to make it work.
Yeah. And I guess there's like a Stockholm syndrome-esque.
Yes, it is a little bit. It is. Yeah.
Where you are almost you feel indebted to the experts for putting you you want to trust them, but you're like, you still feel a bit trapped maybe.
Yeah,
it is, it's true. And you try to mold yourself to that, what that person wants, because you keep thinking there's, we're gonna fit, right? If I just keep trying harder, we can make this work. And
I mean, we saw Ella come in with the dark wig, didn't we? And that was
how uncomfortable was that? Yeah, that was so uncomfortable. But Nathaniel said she went through his phone and found his ex-girlfriends as well. So it's a pattern of behavior there, where I think she feels that she's, and it's sad because I think she just wants to be loved. And I don't think there's, and I think she just desperately just wants to be, to have the fairy tale. You know, not like Peggy, not with an 8-year-old party and a princess, but like,
just like to be fully, like, yeah, unconditionally loved.
Accepted.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then obviously when she's worried, when she doesn't get it right away, she starts to see, what is it that I'm not that he wants? And she obviously looks at appearance more than she does what's inside, I think. And so she looks at the what the outside of the last girl looked like, or last guy, and thinks, if I emulate that, they're going to warm to me more. You know, but JJ looked like he wanted to pull a ripcord at the last dinner party, didn't he? When she said she'd move, I think he might be moving to Tokyo.
Do you think when we get to them, she's going to write stay and he's going to write leave?
I think for sure she's going to write stay, 100%. Him? I don't know, because I don't think he's honest. He wasn't honest with Bianca. He kept telling her he was all in and he was going to make it work with her and try, when he was already texting Ella. So Bianca had no idea. She knew that he fancied Ella, but he said he was still going to 100% try with her, and he wasn't. So, I mean, like, we see him at the dinner party and he says, she says, oh, I'll move for you. And he looks like he's trying to dig a hole to China. And then the next breath, he's saying, you're everything I need. Right. So is he going to want to launch his T-shirt line? I mean, stay with Ella and make you it work.
Because
maybe he thinks it's a bigger finish if he leaves with her, or maybe he thinks it's going to be more dramatic and he'll get more results from saying no. But do I think it's authentic on his part? Not really. I mean, I could be wrong. So, you know, if I'm wrong, JJ, please come and tell me.
I feel for Ella, I think. I really do.
I do, but I mean, who is going to like someone getting absolutely shit-faced and going around asking people for threesomes and things like that?
I still see the insecurity playing out, though, and like wanting, and I think there's a level of humiliation that we'd all feel if you're paired with someone who doesn't seem to find you attractive, and then you swap and that person is starting to pull back as well. Like,
I agree, but what I will say is that if she had done these things on her honeymoon with Nathaniel and it had put him right off, then she finds JJ and she thinks he's great, and then she does the same things again. At some point, as an adult, you say, maybe I don't go out and get shit-faced if I can't control myself, and my insecurities are so bad that when I drink, I behave this way. Because ultimately, she is killing the relationships off herself. So is it the fact that they're pulling away, or is she pushing them away at this point? We don't know.
Someone unlike JJ, you can't be cynical about, I don't think, is Matt and Adrienne.
The funniest thing, which she's saying to him, she's talking to him, putting her makeup on, and she's saying, she's telling him all her fears, and he sat on the chair and he goes, yep, nope. It's like, there's like no, I don't understand. There doesn't seem to be a lot of connection there. And he just, you're right, he's blindly going on thinking everything's perfect. And he takes the girl who says she's lost 8 stone and she has to work out 3 times a day to eat the biggest steak of her life, which I think maybe he should have read the room there a bit better. But like, that's probably your biggest fear, right?
What do you think they'll say at their final vows?
Well, what I don't understand is how the expert said, oh my God, he doesn't want kids and she does. That's interesting. Surely that would be something both of them would have discussed before they went on the show, right?
Well, so, I said,
well, you'll know this. They must have asked you.
Yes, they ask it. Well, they ask you millions of questions over months. And I don't know if it was the fact that maybe they, I don't know how they either didn't know or they pretended they didn't know in that moment, but somewhere somebody made a mistake, because how would you put two people together who have such a big problem like that? When somebody's going to have to give up something really big to be in that relationship. And also, they come in so late, they shouldn't be, they're not there. They're not at final vows, right? They've just started. I don't understand how they expect some couples to get that long and some couples to do 2 weeks and then go, oh, I'm in it forever. I love you.
It does feel unfair to be an intruder. We've said this before. Like, you get less time with the experts, less time with your partner. You're an outsider in the group.
Mm-hmm. It's hard. I'm not calling them intruders because it sounds like a dildo. Every time someone says it, all right, Roz.
From her new ancestor line. Oh, man.
But I don't think they should stay together. I don't think they have a lot in common. I don't think a hike and a steak make a relationship make.
Bars. And it was interesting to see her with George. They both seem just so much more fun away from their own respective partners.
Exactly.
But I wonder if the pressure is off. I mean, it's an obvious thing to say, but when you do the couple swap, you haven't been told by the experts that you're a perfect match. You're just spending time with another human being, mm-hmm. and there's no expectation. So they just got on so well. Mm-hmm. But if they'd been paired in the beginning, would they have encountered some of the same problems because they were trying to be perfect for each other?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting.
She's not that close to her family, so she might have been better.
That would help. What do you think about... I think the only other couple we've got is Paul and Tasha.
Tasha's an interesting one.
She is, because I felt like we started off and we thought these couple are so great, they're so perfect, and Tasha took a turn, didn't she? And it was then she said things that weren't really nice and not very grown up, and her temper started to come out, and then she has that altercation with Paul where he says no. Mm-hmm. No. I think she's genuine. I think she does care about him. I just think maybe he's too nice of a guy, and I think she's going to eat him up long term.
I think that's an interesting point about being genuine, because I hadn't thought of it this way before, but I guess because she's showing all colours of herself and not all of them are likeable, that is almost the most genuine somebody can be.
Yeah.
Because she's not trying to get us to like her. She's just reacting in the moment in an authentic... I guess that's an interesting point. If someone comes across as super likeable all the way through, are they maybe hiding certain sides of themselves that they think the public won't like? Whereas she's just really laid herself bare, hasn't she?
Yeah, but the thing is as well is that she is a grown-up, and if she can't seem to control herself in public settings. Like, the way she came across to his friends, like, yes, he made a mistake, he called her a little girl, he didn't mean it like that, but has Paul done anything to suggest that he would be nasty? Like, why was her first go-to that he was doing something horrible to her? Why didn't she give him the benefit of the doubt or have an adult conversation where she says, look, I didn't like that comment, we'll talk about that later, you know? Instead, she goes full crazy in front of his friends, and he's close with his family and friends. If they don't like her, that's going to be a big issue for him moving on. Plus, she doesn't want to move in with his parents.
Don't blame her.
Oh yeah, God, that's tough, isn't it? When you're used to living by yourself to then moving in with his parents, and then what did you think about that when she left in the middle of the night?
Oh, I felt bad for her on that one, because I think if you don't really know somebody's family and you have a terrible case of diarrhea in the middle of the night, you don't want to stay in that house. You probably just went to a Novotel and went, oh, I'm just going to be sick all night in this bathroom, and I want to lie on the floor and put my face on the toilet, you know, whatever else. And, you know, and I think he should have told his mom, not expected her to apologize to his mom. I didn't like that one. That's the only thing I'll say about Paul this whole season, is he shouldn't have made her feel bad for running away because she was ill, because she did that look actually ill.
I guess if you're a team, then you take the responsibility.
Yes.
If you're Paul, you're like, well, I want to make sure my mom doesn't dislike this girl.
Yes.
She's my wife.
And yes.
So I'm going to advocate for her and say, Tasha sends her apologies, even if she hasn't verbally been able to say that because she's vomiting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You want your mum to like them, so presumably you would... That's a really good point, Lara. Really good point.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it, because what she was forced to do was apologise to somebody's mother because she was ill and she didn't handle it in the best way. But when you're sick, do you really think about that? Or do you just think, oh my God, I've got to get out of here because this is bad?
Paul should have passed on the message that Tasha wanted me to let you know that it was actually a dirty protest because she hates me.
Yeah, I've written, I'm not living here, and shit on the walls. Sorry.
Were you as heartbroken about Thomas and Roz as everyone else?
Yeah, because I, at the first couple of weeks, I wanted them to go home so bad because they just did my head in. And I thought, what is the point of these two people? And every time they came on my screen, I went, oh, not this again. And then when they made it work, I was like, this, see, it proves it. You work the process works. You know, you could see Paul, like, he was so excited. He'd fix this situation, you know, tapping himself on the back. But I'm heartbroken and I'm a little annoyed because I feel like maybe Roz, as heartbroken as she was, and I don't want to paint her as a bad person because it was a difficult situation, but I think she wasn't as honest with Thomas as she probably should have been, because I don't think you go from being really great to being, I'm going home overnight. I think she knew it wasn't right, but she kept going through the process thinking, I don't want to be on national TV and hurt this guy. Let's just keep it going. When she went to the homestay and saw his mum and what it meant to her, and she's thinking about grandkids and futures, she thought, I can't lie.
Oh, it was awful. I mean, to be fair, he's come out of it pretty well. Like George as well. I think they're going to do all right. But Thomas is going to, his DMs must be.
I'm just laughing because Thomas has come out of this twice the size he went into it. Have you seen the size of that man's arms?
That's one person. It's unsettling, isn't it? How's he going to get into his granddad jumpers with those muscles?
Oh, that was what I was going to, just other little fun things. I was going to ask you, what do you think of Paul's fashion? Because that was a big thing.
So my friend messaged me and said, I'm wearing the same shirt that Paul's being asked to throw away as she's watching the program. I liked his sense of style. And I'm going to be honest, I would have rather thrown out some of Tasha's stuff. So, but I guess if that's the worst thing you can say about your partner is I don't like that shirt, then I know, that's you're doing okay, right?
That's the only thing I thought was quite sweet. It's like, if that's the worst thing you could say.
Yeah, you really like Paul as well, though.
Oh, who doesn't?
Like, he's absolutely gorgeous. He's such
a sweetheart. He's well brought up. He's sweet to his parents. He's honest. He stood up. He did stand up for Tasha at the beginning when he said to his mum, if you don't agree with this wedding, that's fine. But she is my wife.
Yeah.
I said it like George said. My wife.
Yeah. Even when it's been awkward to defend her, he's defended.
I don't dislike him. I'm just like, is he that much fun? He's like,
yeah. You don't want to date him, and that's fine, Omar.
I think they had fun on their honeymoon. There was always quite a lot of laughing, and
yeah.
I just really like him.
I think we don't see a lot of nice people when
that's
the drama
what I was
becomes.
About- to say yeah. if it's not hugely likable characters, you cling to what you're given.
Then when she started to get a bit shitty, then we saw more of them, but we saw her reacting to him rather than him, and he did seem to stand up for himself, so I think he's got a good sense of morals, and I don't think he's a walkover. But yeah, like, even when you watch it and you do your podcast and stuff, you think, oh yeah, nothing to see here, let's talk about another couple.
Do you think Jay and Luke are still together on the outside? No spoilers if you know, because I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I know that they posted a lot of photos of them. It seemed like one of those funny things where they seem to be at all these different places. Like, they went, right, let's just go to 50 places and take a picture together. So we'll just pepper them through so people think we're together.
Same outfits.
I would say no. I don't know how she would forgive him for how they left that show. I mean, and everybody says that weird thing that Peggy says, like, it proved how much he loved her.
Oh, God.
That was weird, right? Like, I just think, like I said, does anybody else know that Peggy's house is a portal to the 1950s? Like,
that's a perfect line.
Because the things she says are so old fashioned. Like, yeah, he hit somebody because he loves her so much. He hit somebody because he looked like an idiot. It wasn't about JJ at all. I mean, about JJ. It's not about Jay at all. And he wasn't thinking about her. He was actually angry with her, wasn't he? Because she had listened to people and had taken it in and not believed him. And he was lying, obviously. I don't think he thought about her feelings at all in it. I think it was all about him and how he felt. So do I think they're still together? Probably not. Do I think they should still be together? No.
Again, no spoilers in case you do know, but do you have a prediction for what this? I've heard there's a twist.
I don't know anything. I don't know anything because, like you, I mean, I've only interviewed the only people I know. I haven't interviewed anybody and asked them about the dinner party at the end. Okay. So I've only said let's talk up until the point where we're at in the show. So because it was so much different this year, because when I did the Australian one, the show had been over, right? Yeah. So then we could talk about everything. And also, don't you think it's weird because everybody, I suppose it's not because you did the show last year. I haven't done this with, I know the cast are listening to my episodes as it's on.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. I find that I had to really tune that out, right? Because I'm thinking, like, and I do my things on Instagram. I do a story as it goes. And I'm thinking everything I say, because they're messaging me. Some of them definitely message me. You don't know who I am. You don't know me. Blah, blah, blah. Like,
do you have a prediction on what you think? We just recorded our bit, and it's sort of inspired by one of our listeners, because we asked for their ideas. I'm stretching a bit, but I think that maybe George and Peggy don't stay together, Adrian and Matt don't stay together, and George and Adrian end up dating. Oh,
do you think?
Not really, but I had to.
Not really.
I had to come up with something.
They all drink the poison Kool-Aid. None of them are alive now. I don't know. I'll be shocked if Ella and JJ are together at that dinner party.
Right.
Me too. Oh, Laura, it's been fun talking to you. Thank you for being so honest with your opinions. And if anybody wants Double Maths podcast in their life, then Laura on Air, you've dropped a few like little teasers in there that are going to have everyone listening of talking to Nathaniel and that sort of thing. We just want to say thank you for your time and thank you for being so much fun.
Well, thank you for having me. It's nice to be back on the show. And Omar, I've got to say, you're a little bit nicer now your wife's on this podcast. I think and I think that was the problem when Omar and I did it together, because I'm mean and I bring out more meanness in Omar. Yeah. You're the softer side that holds them accountable, I think that.
That's hilarious.
But yeah, if you want to listen to the podcast, that would be great. I've got lots of guests coming on. Lots of the cast will be doing it, I guess, every Tuesday and Friday. We'll be dropping interviews as opposed to the podcast as the show finishes. And I can't wait to see what the twist is going to be.
Yeah. And you're going to be back for doing the Australian series as well?
I will. Yeah, I'm definitely doing the Australian one, which is easier for me because people don't mind you being meaner for the Australian.
Yeah, maybe I can encourage Claire to be a bit meaner.
Oh, come to the dark side.
Thanks, Laura.
Thank you, Laura.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day. Bye.
Softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.